I'll be reading this morning from Ephesians, the first chapter, the first 10 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him.
There are numerous terms in the scriptures that describe God. Terms that we can understand. I think that the writers use these different terms for God to try to give us a word picture of who God is and our relationship with God. One of those passages of Scripture that really uses several of the terms for God is found in Psalms 18 and verse 2. Here the psalmist says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, my horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Of course, Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." So these and many other terminologies are used in order to get us to understand the character of God. Of course, the most common used and the one that we all love to use, I do, is the fact that God is our Father, that we are his children. And this, I know, is used to designate one of the personalities in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But this term Father, I believe, goes a lot deeper than that. I believe that it expresses a very special relationship that we should have, that we need to have with God, God the Father. When we think about God the Father, I'm afraid, though, that there is a lot of misunderstanding about God the Father. I think that sometimes many, even in the church, have the concept of Captain Von Trapp. You remember him in the movie The Sound of Music? Captain Von Trapp. When we first see him and we first see his children, we see him running his home like he does one of his ships. And the kids have to stand at attention and they can't look sideways. And he calls them with a whistle, you remember? And the only thing they do, they spend their time in studying and marching. And all the song and joy and cheerfulness is gone from their home. And it doesn't take long to know that the children are miserable. And Maria tries to bring back a relationship between them and their father. And they can't talk to him. They're afraid of him. The only relationship they have is like a sailor to a commander. And I think that some people have a picture of God like that. That God is stern and a harsh father, and he's just waiting to drop a hammer on us and put us in our place. And the closeness that we can have with God is not there. And whenever we have this kind of view of God, it distorts our faith. It keeps us from having the kind of foundation faith that we need to have. And the only thing that can do is finally lead someone to resent God and his church. And many people that I've talked to that were one time faithful and then grew up and left the church, and I've talked to them and they point to that very thing. That they didn't feel like they had a relationship with God. And it even leads some to deny that there even is a God. Or certainly question their faith. And that's not God. That's not your God. That's not the kind of father that God wants to be to us. And this morning, I want us to go to the book of Ephesians. And there Paul points out at least three things about God and about our relationship with God that I think we ought to know. In the first place, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 2, the first thing we notice is that we are children of God. Paul says there, grace and peace from God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are children of God. And you say, well, Larry, I know that. We're all children of God. Everybody's children of God. Yes and no. Yes, we are all children of God because God's the creator of the world. He created all of us. We know that. In Psalms 139, verses 13 and 14, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. That sense, we are human, all human beings are children of God. But when it comes to the aspect of our spiritual relationship with God, the Bible paints a totally different picture. In John 1, verses 11 and 12, it says, He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, watch this now, He gave the right to become children of God. He gave the right to become the children of God. How do you get this right to become the children of God? Well, Ephesians 1 verse 5 says, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. Adopted sons. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So, there is the sense that we are all children of God, all human beings, because we were created by God. But then there is also the sense that there are some who have been given the right to be the children of God, through obedience to the will of God, whom He has adopted as sons with a special station and a special relationship to Him. I think we can understand that right here in our own congregation. We have little Gracie. The Marvin family adopted little Gracie. They went to great lengths. We helped. We here in the church, we prayed for them. We financially contributed to some of their trips to go and pick her up and in China. And let me just talk to Grace. Let me see Grace. Put me on right here. Grace, come on. Come on. Gracie, will you come with preacher just a minute? Come with preacher. No? Well, let me just ask you, Gracie. Let me ask you a question. Who is your mommy? Mommy? What's her name? Julie? What's your daddy's name? Michael. What's your sister's name? Anna. What's your brother's name? Trey. So this is your daddy. And that's your mommy. Do they love you? They do? Sure they do. Do you love them? Yes, you do. Michael, how many children do you have?
Three.
Three children. Yeah. That's exactly how many children you have. But that's, you know, it's no question in any of our minds, the special relationship that family has. And all of the trouble, all of the heartache, and it was times when it didn't look like that it was even going to happen. And to have to travel all the way around on the bottom side of the world to get her. And every year, they celebrate a very special day. What is that very special day, Gracie? Gotcha Day. They celebrate as a family Gotcha Day. And Mike said it right. And I asked him, how many children does he have? And he said, three. That's what God has done for us. And all that he went through so that he could adopt us as children, send his son to die on the cross for us that we might have the forgiveness of our sins, the hope of everlasting life. He did all of that so he could have this special relationship as a father with each one of us. So that he could adopt us into the royal family. And why? Because he loves us and he has plans for us that are bigger than even we could even imagine. That's what it means when we say that we are God's children. But then Paul points out a second thing here. He says that he gives us all spiritual blessings. In verse 3 of chapter 1 in Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, this is another point in which we are all receive the blessings of Jesus and of God. In that, well, as Matthew points out in chapter 5 and verse 45, that he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends the rain to the righteous and the unrighteous as well. Or James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. There is a sense in which God gives blessings to everyone. He makes the sun to rise and set on the good and the bad. But yet, here in Ephesians, he points out that there are special blessings that he gives to his children. And let's look again here at this and see if we can't find this one thing that endears us so to God that he would give us these spiritual blessings. Listen again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. There's the key. The spiritual blessings that God has reserved are for his children who are in Christ. And how does that happen? It happens through our obedience to the will of God. Paul in Romans chapter 6 points out to us that when we are baptized into Christ, baptized into his death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, Even so, we should be raised to walk in newness of life. There's how we get in Christ. Galatians 3:27. When we are baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. And the Lord, as it was in the day of Pentecost, and the Lord added to the church, the family, daily those that were being saved or those that were obeying the gospel. That's how we become those special children. That's how we are adopted into the royal family of God. And once there, we have access to all of these spiritual blessings. In verses 4 through 14, Paul lists some of them. Being chosen by God, predestined to adoption, redemption through Christ's blood, forgiveness of trespasses, obtaining an eternal inheritance, being sealed with the Holy Spirit. What makes these blessings so special? Because we have obeyed the Master, fallen in His footsteps. God has adopted us, and as His children, He gives us these blessings. And what we notice about this is these are things we could never attain on our own. And God is not obligated to give them to us. And to add another statement, we didn't deserve them. But He gave them to us because He is our Father. And in Luke chapter 11, Jesus said there, if you as an earthly father know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more does your heavenly Father know and want to give good things to you? So, Paul has pointed out that we're His children and that we receive spiritual blessings that are only for His adopted children. And then finally this morning, in chapter 2 and verse 18, we learn that God is approachable. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. There are two aspects here that give us this opportunity to approach God. One is the idea of being in Christ. The other is that we can come before God without fear. Our sins separated between us and God, Isaiah 59 and verse 2. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9 points out that we are recipients of even the wrath of God when we are outside of God's family. Where Paul says, ye who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God, and watch, obey not the gospel, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the face of God and from the glory of His power. This is the day of atonement. But as children of God, you do not have to fear. In Hebrews 4 and verse 14 through 16, listen to what the writer says there about Jesus and about our relationship with Him and our relationship with God. He says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we, yet without sin. Let us then, because of that reason, the writer here is saying, because we have that kind of relationship, because we have that kind of master, because we have that kind of high priest, let us then with confidence, not fear, not timidly, but with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. We don't have to have this concept of God like Captain Von Trapp, that we can't, we're afraid as his children were to even talk to him or even approach him. Because we can confidently and boldly come into his presence because we know that he wants us there. He wants us there. And he's never too busy or out of the office or on vacation where he won't be there for us when we seek to find him. What's more, it's not that just we come before him, the throne, boldly, but we're privileged to come to him. In Romans 8, verse 15, Paul there gives us a picture of an approachable God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4, verses 6 and 7. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. We're not just something that he's created. To God, we're more than that. We're his children. This word Abba Father is a precious thing. It's the same word as the English word we might say daddy. Now, I'm certainly not advocating that we start praying Daddy God. I think that's too informal, and I don't think it's appropriate at all in my judgment. But the concept that we have that kind of relationship with our children. I know that whenever my grandchildren come running and hollering, Papa, Papa, they get my attention. And I see what they want to see what they want. And if that means I have to drop what I'm doing, I do. And that's what the writer's trying to get across to us. Not that we should not hold God in absolute reverence. And I love the way that Alan Fortenberry prays. He prays with such a reverence to God. And I think that we need that, but I think we also need to see the concept, the fact that I'm a child of God, and I have this wonderful and close relationship with him. That's our God. Now, we've said repeatedly this morning that this relationship is only reserved for those who are truly his children. And if you have not received Jesus through a faith response in obeying the gospel, then you do not have this relationship with God. But you can. But you can. You believe His great truths, you repent of your sins, you confess that He is the Christ, and you're baptized for the remission of your sins. And God will add you to His family. And you will have a loving relationship with your God that you never thought possible before. I beg you this morning, people, look into your heart, see what kind of relationship you've got with God. Can you say, Abba, Father? Can you approach His throne in prayer with confidence, boldly come before Him because you know you have a right, a privilege to do so? If you don't, and you want that, then let us help you find it. Will you come while together we stand and sing?
How we love.